go to the Lord in prayer. And wherever you're at, if you're driving and listening on your phone or something, I wouldn't advise closing your eyes and bowing your head. But the rest of us are just going to spend a moment or two in prayer. As I said, the president has set this aside as a national day of prayer, so we should do that. Praying for our nation, praying about this coronavirus, praying about our church meetings and Easter coming up. And so we're going to take a minute of silent prayer, then I will pray, then we will look at our lesson for today. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for this beautiful morning. The sun is shining, and it is your day. It seems like, Father, because of this virus that is worldwide and certainly has affected Americans and Minnesotans, it seems like things are a bit out of sort. Many, many, many have not, cannot, whatever the case may be, gathered together in corporate worship today. But, Father, we do want to spend time with you. And so we call upon you this morning, Heavenly Father, to visit us by your Spirit where churches are gathering, where people are gathering in homes. We ask that your Spirit would be with each and every one. And Father, we would pray for our nation today. We would pray for our president, our leaders, even our governor, who will have another news conference here at 10 o'clock. We would pray for our leaders, Heavenly Father, that they would do what is necessary, but not so much out of fear, but out of obedience to you. And so I pray, Father, for our nation. I pray that we would look to you. I pray that as people are up in arms and all kinds of things have been canceled and all kinds of things have been changed, and yes, people do have the coronavirus, I pray that people would look to you and people would surrender completely to you and trust you and decide to walk with Jesus. And so, Father, lead us. Lead us in this time of uncertainty. Lead us in this time of difficulty. Help us, Father, to be convinced more than ever we need to follow Jesus. We need to be led by your Spirit. And I do pray for us here at Motley Free Methodist, Father, that you would give us wisdom and discernment and insight at how to go forward, how to have services or not, how to do what we would love to do or not. Help us, Father, to know your will and be obedient to you. And so, Lord, I do pray for all those names on our prayer focus this morning. Many have cancer. Some have had surgeries. Some will have surgeries. Some are going through difficulties of the loss of family member. We lift them all up to you and pray that you'd watch over each and every one and ask that you'd guide each and every one. Heal, comfort, forgive, take care like only you can. I pray especially, for Father, for those in care centers and hospitals today, and even, I suppose, jails to a point where there's no visitors allowed. We pray, Father, that you would be with those of ours that are loved ones and dear ones to us. Comfort each and every one in these care centers and assisted living facilities where they can't have any visitors now. Father, we just pray that out of all of this, that you would be glorified. People would come to know you. People would surrender to you. And we in the church would experience revival. We pray out of all of this, Father, that you would lead this nation back to you. We pray, O God, that you would be glorified. And Lord, as we look at Scripture now for a little while, and we know there's people probably watching Facebook Live, a few have joined us here in the sanctuary, we're just asking for your Spirit's direction here too. Thank you, Father, again for this beautiful morning. Thank you for people listening on Facebook Live. Thank you for those that have gathered here in the sanctuary. Guide us by your Spirit, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. As we go through this period of time, I was talking to our Jessica and our praise team a little bit about music, and maybe we will have a little bit of music incorporated into our services. Right now, friends, we're really just operating day by day, week by week, and we're just kind of at the mercy of what our government says and what our bishops direct us. And so we will try to keep you posted via the church Facebook page, via the call multiplier system. We will try to keep you as posted as we can, as current as we can. And if you're not on the call multiplier system, we would gladly put you on there, but we do need your phone number. So text that to Linda or Charles or myself so we can get that on the call multiplier system, and you will be receiving the same updates that everybody else gets. Okay. If you've got your Bibles with you, if you're at home sitting in the comfort of your easy chair or your couch or whatever, I'd encourage you to open up your Bibles. We will have it on the big screen here, and maybe even at home you can see that. But I'm going to refer to some scripture today that continues to go along with this topic we've been talking about of false teachers. And so those of you that have been around and listening to this series for a little while, I just want to catch us up with two sets of verses before I launch into today's verses. A little bit ago, we looked at 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. And we saw the Apostle Paul saying to Timothy specifically, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We talked about that a little bit. People in the church, people out of the church. Paul said to Timothy, the time will come when they won't endure. They won't listen to or want to hear sound doctrine from the Word of God. Paul then said, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. In other words, they will put for themselves in place teachers that will tell them what they want to hear rather than the full counsel of God. Paul said to Timothy, that will happen. And those teachers, he said, those false teachers that they put in place will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Paul told Timothy that will happen. Last week, we turned to 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3 and 4. We looked at more verses than that, but I want to emphasize 3 and 4 to bring us up to speed before I go into Matthew 7 today. 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul was speaking to the church at Corinth, chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. He said this, but I fear, somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So he's telling the church, I fear. Then he goes into verse 4, someone might come to you preaching another Jesus. He's saying, I fear the time will come, for if he who comes preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, here's his fear. If that person comes speaking another Jesus, another gospel, here's his fear. We looked at this last week. He said, I fear you might put up with it. In other words, you might keep listening. You might keep listening to this other gospel. That's what Paul told the church at Corinth. Let me say this. I might have said it last week. I don't know. But it applies to all of this series. These false teachers that Paul is talking about, and I'm going to get to Jesus' words in Matthew 7 in just a minute. These false teachers, Jesus called them false prophets. They may not be obvious. You might have to listen very closely, very intently, drill down in what they're saying. Because if they come at us obvious with a very blatant, off the road, off the path kind of a message, no one would listen to it. But Paul warns, and Jesus is going to warn with crystal clarity here, they look normal. And some of what they say will seem normal. But you've got to listen intently about the whole gospel of what they're saying. That's what Paul is saying. That's what Jesus is saying. You have to be spirit-led in your observation. What is the whole message of their delivery? Now, that was the Apostle Paul. Now to Jesus for today. If you've got your Bible, Matthew 7, 15 to 23 is where we're going to be. Verses that we all know, it's in part of the Sermon on the Mount, but they fit right along with this whole series that I've been talking about, false teachers. So here we go, Matthew 7, starting at 15 to 23. Here's what Jesus said. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Okay, we've got a complete dichotomy there. We've got complete opposites. I'm going to mention just three things here after another verse. You will know them by their fruit. So he's talking false prophets that will look like sheep, but they're really coming after you as wolves. He said, you will know them by the fruits. In other words, if you watch them long enough, if you observe, if you listen intently, if you watch these false prophets, even though they look like sheep, you will know them by their fruit. And then Jesus gives us this example. How will you know them? He says, well, do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? And the answer is no. We know that doesn't happen. He said, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And therefore, he says it again, by their fruits you will know them. He's talking about false teachers. Just like Paul to Timothy, Paul to the church at Corinth, Jesus addresses it also. There will come a time where there'll be, whether it was their time or the 21st century and everywhere in between, there will come a time when people will come to you with a message seemingly on, but obviously off. Jesus is warning us of that. Now look at what he said. Many of you that have been around here for years have heard me refer to Matthew 7:21 many, many times. But look at the context of Matthew 7:21. He's talking about false teachers. And we get to Matthew 7:21, and that's when Jesus says, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Do you see the context now? There's these false teachers he's talking about that are proclaiming a gospel, even using the name of Jesus from time to time. And Jesus is crystal clear here when he says, you'll know them by their fruits. And then he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Then he says this, they will rationalize, yes, but, Lord. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And Jesus replied, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And so in this series, we're calling false teachers. Jesus is now referring to them as ravenous wolves. That's pretty serious stuff. He said, basically, sometimes they will kind of look like sheep. Sometimes they will kind of talk like sheep, but they're not sheep. You see what he's saying? You see what he's saying? The seriousness of this allegation. Let me just put it into everyday living for us for a moment. My dad, having had sheep now for 73 years, he's 85, he's had sheep since he was 12, so he's had sheep for 73 years. And so as long as he has had sheep for that long, that has afforded me the opportunity to be around sheep from time to time. And so over the years, I have learned some things about sheep. Not everything by a long stretch, but I have learned one thing for sure long, long time ago. One of the fiercest and most natural enemies of sheep is the wolf. We have seen their carnage. We have seen them in action. They are killers. We have seen it. Oftentimes, wolves will kill for food, and oftentimes they will kill for sport. We have seen that firsthand. And then they just leave the carcasses lay all over the field, scattered about. Jesus is talking about that kind of approach. Wolves coming up, sneaking in with a sheepskin over them so as to get close, to infiltrate the people of God. Looking like sheep, but coming in really with the effect to reap carnage among the sheep. Remember the John 10 story when Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." And in John 10:10, he gets to that point where he talks about the thief. He's talking about the enemy. He's talking about the devil. He's talking about ravenous wolves come to kill, steal, and destroy. This is what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about people who speak sometimes of Jesus. Sometimes they have the appearance of sheep. Sometimes they have the appearance of being a follower of Christ. But when he says, when you listen intently, when you dig deep, when you find really at the bottom of what they're all about, they are not sheep. They are not true apostles. He calls them false prophets. He calls them ravenous wolves. Now, why in the world do I care? Why do I say any of this? Why are we talking about this fault? Why am I talking about these false teachers to us for several weeks? Friends, I speak this way because they are among us. And as many very intelligent, godly pastors have said, we need to be aware of this deception. The sheep need to be aware of these ravenous wolves that externally, on the outside, look a little bit like sheep. That's why I'm talking about it. I'm not here, I told you this last week, I'm not here to tear down. I am here to enlighten and tell you they are among us. Ravenous wolves, ear ticklers, people with a false gospel are among us in America. They are on our TV screens, and we must be aware of what message is being proclaimed. That's why I'm talking about these days what I'm talking about. They are fooling people. They are fooling millions. They are tickling ears, making us feel good, never addressing sin or all kinds of underlying messages. They are doing their works for themselves much more so than for the kingdom of God. I gave you some quotes last week, those of you that were here or listening online, of those kind of wolves, those kind of false prophets, those kind of ear ticklers. I'm going to give you some more quotes today. I just want you to listen at how desperately far off these quotes are. I'm not sure if I should tell you the author of the quotes or not. I guess I'll just give you the quote here to begin with and see how the Lord leads. But I give you these quotes for you to consider and see if they don't apply exactly what Jesus is saying. Here's the first quote from a very, very well-known, very, very wealthy prosperity pastor. Here's the quote. "You don't have a God in you, you are one." I will speak to that just a little more in a moment. That same prosperity pastor that is on TV screens everywhere said this: "Adam was as much like God as you can get. He was not almost like God. He was not subordinate to God." You see the underlying tones there, the danger of those kind of statements? How about this statement from a very, very well-known, self-proclaimed healing pastor? Here's the quote: "What we declare creates reality." I'm going to talk about that in just a moment too. Here's another one, a much younger, up-and-coming prosperity type pastor. Here's what he said. God's in control? The Bible doesn't teach that. We think that Satan needs permission to attack us. He doesn't. Do you find the danger of that statement? If you're listening on by Facebook today, this person said, and he's got all kinds of people listening to him, God's in control? The Bible doesn't teach that. Mine does. Mine teaches God's in control. So that's what I'm talking about. That's what Jesus is talking about. False messages from false prophets. Here's a very, very serious and very, very subtle quote. Here's the quote. He's speaking about Jesus, performed miracles, wonders, and signs as a man in right relationship with God, not as God. That quote comes from Bill Johnson, the head pastor of Bethel Church, who founded Jesus Culture Music. He wrote that quote in his book that he wrote. It's called When Heaven Invades Earth. You can find it on page 29. The subtlety of these messages is real and dangerous. And I love the way Justin Peters, if you want to learn more about false prophets and stuff, go to Google sometimes and Google in Justin Peters. He exposes these kinds of things. He's been doing it for decades. But I love his quote about this because it's real. Here's his quote. This is the other side of the coin from Justin Peters. The demotion of God, bringing him down, and the deification of man, that is, raising man up. This is a quote from Justin Peters. The demotion of God and the deification of man is at the heart of the prosperity gospel. And if you listen to these guys long enough, some of them gals, you will start to see how they are bringing God down. Let me say again that first quote. This one comes from Ken Copeland. You don't have a God in you. You are one. That is bringing God down and elevating man. That is not the gospel according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus, and Peter, and Paul. That is the gospel according to man. Justin Peters is dead on when he said, we have this tendency to bring God down to our level and elevate man up to his to put us on the same level. That's not unlike the teachings of Mormonism. We can all become God, just a matter of time. That's the dangers of some of these messages. You see, friends, we have to decide either God is God or he isn't. He is all God. He is sovereign God. Unlike Todd White's quote that says God's in control, the Bible doesn't teach that. Yes, it does. The Bible says he is sovereign. He is in control. And so we have to decide either God is God or he isn't. That's what we have to decide. We have to wade through these, as Jesus said, ravenous wolves' teachings and understand what the Bible is all about. We're never going to do that, by the way, if we never spend any time in the Bible. We need to get into the Word of God and to understand it. I wonder sometimes why. Maybe you're wondering this too as I talk about this morning. Why would they do that? Why would people have that tendency to bring God down and bring man up? Why would they be speaking about Jesus that was just, well, he was just a man? Why would they do that? It's exactly what Jesus said. They're not sheep at all. They're ravenous wolves in sheep's clothing. They're ravenous wolves with a message that's getting people away from the centrality of Scripture. you don't have a God in you, you are one, is saying that, well, we can be like God. That's a message from the devil. You can be like God. That's what he told Eve in the beginning. You have a God in you. You don't have a God in you. You are one, I mean. That's like the enemy's tactics from the very beginning. That quote from Benny Hinn that says, what we declare creates reality. No, we are not the creators of anything. We do not create into existence just because we speak something. That whole name it and claim it gospel is not of God. He is the creator. We are the created. We do not speak anything into existence. What we declare creates reality is not of God. That is a man-made gospel. The whole idea of name it and claim it is not the gospel according to Jesus. I would ask us to consider, since when did we become God to claim anything into existence? We didn't. We didn't become God to claim something into existence. Here's another one from a prosperity preacher that speaks along that line of claiming something into existence. Here's the quote. Speak to your checkbook. Say, checkbook? You've never been so prosperous since I've owned you. You're just jammed full of money. We are not the creators, friends, of anything. That is a very, very popular prosperity female preacher that spoke that. We do not create things into existence. That is God's role, not ours. You see the danger in these kind of statements? Only God can speak things into existence. We are not God, and neither are they. Another quote from a very, very popular TV preacher that pastors the largest congregation in America. If you think bigger, you will live bigger. That's the name it and claim it idea. You just have to think that you're going to have a bigger house and you're going to have one. That is not of God. That's what Jesus is talking about here. False prophets. He said, if you watch long enough, if you dig deep enough, if you listen closely, you will see their fruits will reveal who they really are. And Jesus warned us about this. Paul warned us about this. Ear tickling and name it and claim it, and false doctrines about Jesus. He said, beware of that. Jesus was serious about this. He said, beware of that, people of God. These ear ticklers' message is not the gospel according to Jesus and his apostles. This is the Americanized gospel. I have gleaned a lot of this information online, off the internet, on places called the American Gospel. You can look at that too. You can listen to Justin Peters. You can listen to Costi Hinn. You can listen to these people exposing and having quotes from all these false teachers. This is serious stuff, friends, because there's millions, hundreds of thousands, and maybe millions that are following along behind these false teachers. Jesus said, watch them long enough, and you'll see the fallacy of their speaking. And friends, my intent here today and last week and a couple weeks before that and maybe next week is to warn us that there's false gospels, half-truths, false statements about Jesus all over the airwaves, all over the TV waves, and they're being gobbled up by thousands. These false gospels are not consistent with the gospel of Jesus. And we need to understand what Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, Paul, and Jesus are saying here. Let me give us a couple more quotes before I start to wrap this all up and close. This is a quote again on the other side of the coin. This quote comes from Robert Bauman, author and speaker. on that whole idea of bringing man up and God down, and Jesus was just a man, on that whole idea, he says this: if Jesus is not God for one millisecond, he is not the God of the Bible. You see what he's saying, friends? To say, well, he's just a man in right relationship with God. To suggest that Jesus is not God for a millisecond. He is not the God of the Bible. That's the difference. The Gospels that we subscribe to, at least I hope we subscribe to, remind us he is God. He was with God in the beginning. He was as God in the flesh. We call that incarnate. We call it Emmanuel. Remember the Old Testament talked about Emmanuel, the New Testament, which means clearly God with us. And so to take that away from him, to take away from Jesus, he is God in the flesh, to take that away, Robert Bauman says, if Jesus is not God for one millisecond, he is not the God of the Bible. You cannot reduce him to man and let him be there and be it consistent with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus is fully God. Incarnate in the flesh. God came to the earth in the flesh. And to take away from that is minimizing the gospel. Do not water that down, friends, and do not be persuaded by those that try to. Let me just say this, and I'll wrap this all up. I asked us this question last week. I want us to think about it again for a minute. Who is the gospel about? Is it about us and our best life now? Is it about us and our comforts? Is it about us and our personal happiness? And the answer is no. It is about the Son of God who came in the flesh to save sinners, of which we all have been. And it's very, very important that we understand who he is. It's very important for us to understand the Savior. Jesus is the Savior, God in the flesh, who saves us from sin. That's very, very different than this concept, this idea of some genie in a bottle waiting to grant you your three wishes. It's very different. God loves us. God loves us to the point he sent his Son to die for us. That is the gospel. May we not water that down, and may we not get that wrong. Let me reiterate before I close what Jesus said. Be aware of false prophets. Be aware of them, he said, who came to you, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. You have to look closely. You have to listen intently. You have to dig and see what they're really all about. But he said, you will know them by their fruit. And then in conclusion of that same statement that Jesus made, he says this about false teachers. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Just because I stood in the podium or sat in the pews of church, Jesus said, just because they were there does not mean they will enter the kingdom of heaven. But those in the pew and the pulpit alike, and those not in the pew or the pulpit, but those that do the will of my Father in heaven. He says to us and he reminds us that day will come when we will stand before the judgment of God. And he said many will argue on that day and say, yeah, but God, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. Consider what I've done. Consider when I cast out these demons and even said a few things in your name and even did some wonders, which is happening around us in your name. There will be an argument from those false prophets, those false teachers on that day. And he will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I just want to say to us today, friends, there are all kinds of folks out there proclaiming all kinds of things using the name of Jesus that will be in this category, verse 21, on that day. They will be in this category. And so Jesus is warning us in Matthew 7:15, watch out for them. Watch out for that message. Beware of those false prophets, because they look and sometimes talk and sometimes act like the sheep, but he said they are not sheep. Beware of them. And so I'd ask us to consider today, friends, whether we're watching on Facebook Live at this moment, or we'll listen to this afternoon, or the few people that are here with us this morning, have you really surrendered to Jesus? Have you really given everything to him? Do you understand the God of the Bible? Do you understand the Jesus that came to the cross and died for our sin? Do you understand that he is God and that he loved us so intently, so desperately, he was willing to take upon himself my sin, our sin, all sin, and nail it to the cross? He is not a genie in a bottle. He is God. Have you given your life to him? Have you repented of sin and said, yes, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I need a Savior, and I want Jesus to come into my life. I want him to come into my life and take control. Have you done that, friends? Have you given your life to him? I hope that you do, whether it's in the comfort of your home today or you're listening to this afternoon. I hope that you have surrendered completely to Christ. He is the only way to God. I am going to lead us in a prayer, how we might do that if we're wondering. And then I'm going to close in prayer and say, please keep praying for us as we navigate these waters of uncertainty in this time in Minnesota and America. Please keep praying for the church that we would not be led by a spirit of fear, but by the Spirit of the living God, that we would be obedient to what the bishops and the governor and the president are asking us, but that we would be moved, we would be people filled with the Spirit and moved by the Spirit and not by fear. And so, friends, let's close this day and this session with prayer. Father, I thank you for those that might be listening on Facebook Live today. Thank you for those that have come and sat with us here in the sanctuary. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would be completely honest with ourselves and honest with you. You already know if our name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life or not. You know that. We are not fooling you. And I pray, Father, if we have not come to that point of total surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, I pray that we would do it today. Wherever we're at, I pray that we would do it today. We would simply say to you, Father, forgive me, I have sinned. I need Jesus. I invite Jesus Christ into my life to take over. I surrender. I surrender my will. I surrender my agenda. I surrender my rights even to you, Lord Jesus. I give you my life. Come in and take control. Father, I pray that if people have not done that, we would do that and mean it. And your Spirit would come into us, and your Spirit would change us, and your Spirit would transform us into be people that are followers of Jesus and passionate to do so, that we are people of light. And I just pray, Father, again, that you would revive your church through this period of time. Revive us, O God, and use us for your glory. Use us in everyday living when people are afraid of coronavirus or something else. Use your people to bring you glory, O God, I pray. Use us to pray. Use us to encounter. Use us to proclaim your word. Use us as your hands and feet, Lord Jesus, I pray. And guide us, Father. Guide us, Charles and I and our board and this congregation, but guide us as a church to know your will through these uncertainties. And for those that are recovering from surgery and are going to have them, for those who are battling cancer, those that are hurting because they've lost their loved one, Father, will you comfort them in a real special way today? We'll just thank you, Father, for walking with us and blessing us. And we'll just ask you to moment by moment, guide us, our leaders, to a closeness to you that's real. And help us, Father, to be aware if we're listening to false truths from false gospels, to be enlightened by your Spirit and know the truth of Jesus Christ. And be aware of these statements that seem so far off when we really drill down. Help us to be aware of that, Father, and cling to you and your message of truth. We pray all of this in the precious and powerful name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. Whether you're here or on Facebook Live, God bless you. We will keep you posted as what next week looks like. And may God be glorified in all we say and do. Thank you. God bless you.